Welcome back to another episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Eli. And today, we have our final episode of Season 16 of Star Wars in the Galaxy. Our retrospective episode on Obi-Wan Kenobi. We finally reached the end of Season 16. No, we do not have guests for this episode, but we are very grateful to our four guests, Nikki Kumar, Lauren Romo, Boopin John, and, of course, Alden Diaz at the end of the season for joining us this season. We had a great time with this season. And we have our usual retrospective prompts, and we're excited to talk about them and also talk about the future of In a Galaxy going into the spring. We're very excited about what we're doing. We're going to go some interesting places. In a Galaxy going some interesting places that might not be what people expect. We're going to zig when other people zag, and that's fine. That's fine. We're celebrating the release of the first three episodes of The Bad Batch this week by not talking about it at all. That's standard operating procedure here at Star Wars in the Galaxy, but although you can see my thoughts on Twitter and other places as well. Do not worry, though. We have already decided that Bad Batch will be, like, we are going to cover Season 3 on In the Galaxy. We're going to just do it our way. We're going to give it quite a bit of time to give ourselves quite a bit of time to sit with the season. I think by the end of this year, I think we'll be starting Bad Batch Season 3. I think that's what we're going to... I think that's what it is. I think it's going to finish releasing in May. I think by, like, December, I think we'll probably be getting started on it. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's a decent turnaround.
No, it's not the quickest turnaround we'll ever do, because we're doing an even quicker turnaround for something in a month. But we'll talk about that later.
True.
All will be revealed. So let's talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Jacob, why don't you start us off with your overall thoughts of where this series places for you?
Okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Perhaps I owe Kenobi an apology. Perhaps I owe Kenobi a bit of an apology. I wasn't the hugest fan of this show when it came out the first time that I watched it, to be honest with you. I didn't enjoy a few big aspects of it. And Eli, we've done this many times. I don't know about you, but usually enjoy things
more on the
rewatch. We break them down, really get into what we like about them. We're hearing our, especially for Obi-Wan Kenobi, the guest perspectives. Boop John,
Nikki,
Lauren, Alden, yeah. Nikki. I feel like talking to everyone really helped open my eyes. And I really found myself enjoying watching and discussing each episode. So overall, if I were to sum up my thoughts about it, I would say it is undeniably, to me, a flawed show. Yet it is brimming with heart and emotion. And it's a massive payoff for longtime fans. Like, this is Star Wars saying, hey, it feels like Star Wars saying, hey, here y'all go. You deserve it. You've been sticking around for a long time at this point. I think in terms of visually, some of the set design and the execution with the volume, some of the makeup, maybe Grand Inquisitor, the writing, the dialogue, the pacing in a few spots, they all had, in my mind, noticeable lapses at one time or another during the earlier episodes. But the emotional intensity, the intimacy, which with the show brought out different sides of Obi-Wan, of Leia, of Reva, that stayed strong throughout the show. And each episode, I felt like each episode ratcheted it up and tightened things up. And then we got a magnificent conclusion. We really did. So overall, I would say that this is an imperfect... This show is perfect in its imperfection.
So I actually review because I've been doing this habit because I've been... If y'all aren't following me, you should be on what former guest of the show, Alden Diaz, has called the best social media platform. And I happen to agree with him. Letterboxd.
Letterboxd.
I'm going to basically read like parts of my review straight off Letterboxd. Before I do that, I want to read two of our guests' reviews from the last season. Two of them have reviewed them on Letterboxd. And I want you to tell me... I'm going to read them to you, and I want you to guess who said them, okay? This first one is a 5-star review that says, shit changed my life, fuck you.
Is that Nikki?
Yep. And then this one does not have a star rating.
Oh my gosh, I'm one for one. My gosh.
But it says, all right. It's all different now. All of it. We've been blessed by Deborah Chow and this team. I feel sorry for people who didn't take this journey with old Ben. Thread, but yes, it is Alden. Yeah.
Ah. Well, I was expecting something a little bit more verbose, but here we go.
Yeah, those were the only two I pulled up.
I'm two for two. Getting the hang of this.
From what I wrote, quite simply, a god-tier miniseries. Star Wars Episode 3.5 in everything but name. Joby Harold, Hannah Friedman, Andrew Stanton, and the rest of the writing team wrote a gorgeous piece about rebuilding oneself after failure and looking towards the future. It really felt like an extension of the prequel storytelling in all the best ways. This is one of the best acted Star Wars ever. Ewan McGregor hasn't missed a step. He's just as dynamic, charming, and vivid as Obi-Wan Kenobi now as when he last played the Jedi Master in 2005. Hayden Christensen gets another turn as Anakin Skywalker and his Sith Lord alter ego, Darth Vader, and it's lovely to see him back with some new writing and direction to play with. Moses Ingram gave such a subtle and nuanced performance as Inquisitor Reva Savander, and she takes that villain-turned-anti-hero role on so damn well. It was a joy to watch her work. Finally, who the hell was behind Lucasfilm's process of bringing back a 9-year-old Carrie Fisher? Vivian Lyra Bear conveyed everything we know and adore about our beloved princess, and her chemistry with Ewan was spectacular. Part 6 is, to be blunt, one of the best pieces of Star Wars I've ever seen. Deborah Chow was not given an easy task with the direction of the series, and she knocked it out of the park, with fantastic sound editing decisions and cinematography to boot. Could you see the volume at a few points? Sure. But I don't care. Obi-Wan is masterful, period. End of sentence. Y'all have heard about me ranting over and over about this. It's one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite Star Warses. It truly moved me in such a way. I remember I had a lot of fears going up to this suit. This was around the time I was developing a lot of my ideas about fandom and stuff like that and about media literacy that I have now. And I gotta say, as much as I totally ran by the stuff of keep your expectations low and if it's not what you want, that doesn't mean it's bad, obviously, and stuff like that. I had high expectations for Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a series that I knew had the potential to be amazing. And I love Ewan, and I love that character. Obi-Wan Kenobi is my second favorite Star Wars character of all time behind Yoda. And so I was a little worried. But man oh man, did it deliver. It delivered in ways that I never even knew it could deliver, mostly on the Leia front, which is something that I'm ashamed to say I never even considered. Even though, again, it seems so obvious now. But yeah, no, the Leia and Obi-Wan subplot is genius. Everything involving Darth Vader and Obi-Wan is genius. Reva's whole story is great. I think it handles the supporting cast well. Again, I understand where a lot of people come from, including you, on the volume and stuff like set design. And I tend not to care as much about that. Also, Nikki said in our first episode, this was one of the first productions that was noticeably impacted by COVID. So we do have to take that with a grain. I'm not saying that we have to completely forgive all that. I'm just saying grain of salt there. But people were still trying to figure out in a very much radically new world, how to film with masks but also with the testing and with all that kind of stuff and with the vaccination requirements and blah 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 what have you. But I think that despite that, I think we got this deeply personal tale, and we got this deeply personal tale, and I'm so glad that we got. And I am not. I will say this: there's been a lot of stuff, and poor Ewan, I don't envy him right now. Because since Disney bought Lucasfilm, you know what the number one question he was asked about? coming back as Kenobi? When are you coming back as Kenobi? When are you coming back as Obi?
Are you coming back as Kenobi? Are you coming back as
Kenobi? And then the movie was like feelers were put out there, and then it was turned into a show. And now Kenobi season one is released, and you know what the only question Ewan McGregor is being asked right now is?
Season two.
My personal opinion is that I am actually completely fine with there only being one season of this show.
Yeah, I don't think this really...
There are some cool possibilities. Like, for me,
there's some cool possibilities, and...
The Obi-Wan spiritual journey with Qui-Gon being a second season of the show would absolutely justify itself. Maybe Obi-Wan helping Roken and Reva with more stuff with the path.
Yeah, that would
but
be
those
very
are the two... Those are the only two in my mind that really clearly justify a second season. Sorry, Jared. Obi-Wan fighting Asher at head does not justify a second season for me. Oops.
Oh,
you should hear Jared's pitch. It's actually pretty good, but like,
as if,
I'm
man.
Still skeptical.
That would be
well, you know his whole pitch,
that
right?
Would be insane,
he's in the whole
man.
Pitch, and he's been working on this right now, so I'm not going to spoil all of it. And go check out his work on the Nerd Academy podcast and when it gets released. His idea is because it's not just to have Asherad as the villain of Obi-Wan season two. So Asherad is the villain, gets his ass kicked like in the Legends comics. And then flies away into some, like, distant part of the galaxy to, like, intending to lose himself, like he does in Legends. But instead of in Legends being found by the Yuuzhan Vong, because the Yuuzhan Vong are stupid, he is instead found by the Sith Eternal. He is then turned into Darth Krayt by the Sith Eternal.
Yeah.
With their, like, Sith magics and stuff like that. And by the time...
Interesting.
And we don't know exactly... We don't see him a lot, but, like, in the... Obviously, like, in the age of the original trilogy, or in even quite after. But he does emerge back into the scene. At least in Jared's idea, he does emerge back into the scene around 50 years after the Battle of Yavin, where a new Jedi Order is being formed by a certain... Palpatine turned Skywalker Jedi. Yes, Jared is pitching that Darth Krayt be the villain of the Rey film.
Hey, we've seen so much crazier stuff in Legends. This would be not even 10% as crazy
Darth Krayt
as
is,
the
I
shit that
like,
happens with
I,
Darth
I thought
Krayt
I was one of the biggest Darth Krayt
in
fans
Legends.
Out there, and Jared absolutely owned me in that regard. But I will defend Darth Krayt. And even Jared's idea of like, Jared will never escape the Edgelord accusations, and nor should he, because some of his ideas are so incredibly edgy for no reason. This is the guy who saw General Hux in the Duel of the Fates script commit suicide with Mace Windu's lightsaber and was like, dope, cool symbolism.
That's insane. I can't believe that was... in a script. Like, I actually can't believe that was in a script. But
ignoring the Force
why not bring back the Yuuzhan Vong? Why not bring back the Yuuzhan Vong?
Because the idea of them ignoring the Force really
dumb. At
this
point, what could...
Look, if they brought him back, like, minus that, maybe I could get it. If they brought him back,
I think it's really
besides that,
I think it would be awesome.
But anyway, huge sidebar, but anyway, point is...
As long as Chewbacca doesn't die because of Yuuzhan Vong, I'm all for it. Because Chewbacca in Legends, he dies because he dies on Cernuptal from having a moon fall on him. That's just horrible. I can't abide
that. I believe author of that book had hate mail sent to them. It got bad. It got really bad. Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, chill at that point.
I love.
Yeah.
Hate. Yeah, now you gotta chill at that point. That's crazy.
We were concluding overall thoughts. Any more overall thoughts before? Okay.
I would be surprised. I'm not up on the cutting edge news information about what may or may not be in the pipeline. I would be surprised if they made a second season, just because of
I think they
how
are going
well
to make
this one
actually,
wraps itself up.
But I But I don't think it's going to be soon. That's the thing.
It's going to be very
different. Kathleen Kennedy has said basically, yeah, there's like, it's not that we're not open to it, but there's no plans right now of doing Obi-Wan Kenobi. And do I, here's something. Do I think we'll get more Obi-Wan Kenobi in the 2020s? Doubtful. Yeah. I think we're in the next 5 years.
Wow.
I'll even go with that. In the next 5 years, do I think we'll get more Obi-Wan Kenobi? Doubtful. But after that, honestly, wow. Who's to say?
I would think it's the other way around, to be honest. I would think that they have, I mean, from a logistics standpoint, and then also from a standpoint of how many other projects we're going to be seeing, I feel like they, have a window, you know. They have a window. I might pick the other side of that 5 year stretch if we're going to see another season of Kenobi. I think the
pure projects that I think will be released before we want season two. I think out of the films that were announced at the three films that were announced at Celebration, I think at least two of them will release before the potential for another Obi-Wan Kenobi season is announced. Like, I think at least the Sharmino Bechanoi New Jedi Order movie and the Dave Filoni, actually, now it's four, but like the Mandalorian movie from Jon Favreau, the New Jedi Order movie from Sharmino Bechanoi, and the New Republic wrap-up film of the Grogu saga by Dave Filoni, I think all three of those release before we get anything about a new Obi-Wan Kenobi, if it's coming at all.
Yeah, the thing about a show like Obi-Wan Kenobi, when you're working with characters like Obi-Wan, like Leia, like Luke, like Vader, people, characters that are really central to the main saga, you have to work really hard to make sure that nothing in the show obviously contradicts continuity-wise, but more importantly, and more maybe to a greater degree of difficulty, you really have to make sure that you're not undercutting thematically in a narrative sense what exists already. And I feel like we saw signs of how the writers had to take some pains to make sure that was the case. For example, with the, I feel like Luke and everything with Luke and Reva, I felt was really pushing it, given how much of a naive goober you see what I'm saying, and it's going to become more challenging the longer it goes on for.
Skywalker Twin would have as much involvement in a second season as they did. I'd love to see Vivian again, but I don't know if we get her again for a season two. Honestly, like, no offense to her, like, I think she'd be great in other stuff, but I think you probably should get more Vivian in the season two. Same thing about Grant Feely and Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I love them both. I think they're both great.
Yeah. I think we're going to get an Ahsoka level. If we do get a second season, I think it's going to be an Ahsoka level of just, we're going in a completely different direction. Get ready level crazy bullshit.
Have Obi-Wan visit the Spring of Life.
With the spiritual journey or anything that we get.
Have Obi-Wan visit the Wellspring of Life. Have him go to the World Between Worlds. Have him do stuff with Mortis. Go crazy, please. Like, I want as much crazy force shit with Obi-Wan Kenobi as we can possibly get. Absolutely. But let's stop talking about what we're excited for in the future and talk more about Obi-Wan Kenobi Season 1, and in that, our ranking for the show, 6 episodes. Jacob, bottom to top.
All right. From bottom to top. My least favorite episode was Part 1. After that, we have Part 2. In fourth, I had Part 3. In 3, I had part 4, and you can see where this is going. My second favorite was part 5, and my favorite was part 6. I genuinely think that each episode was better than the last. I think it got better every episode. I think that it feels like the show found another gear in every single episode. And there were good. This is not to say that I dislike any of these episodes. I think in each episode, the ratio of shit that they could have skipped out on versus stuff that really hits hard, I think that the ratio got more favorable with each passing episode. And I think part 4 on, it is when the show really spreads its wings. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I know
absolutely. Maybe you were saying part three.
I want to hear your ranking, though.
Number six, and I'm going to emphasize that number 6 is my 6th favorite, not my least favorite. Like, truly, and we'll talk about this later. Number 6, part 4. Number 5, part 2. Number 4, part 1. Number 3, part 3. Number 2, part 5. And number 1, part 6.
Man, they really should have given these episodes actual names, because that was an earful. That was really an earful. So take me through why.
So
I took you through.
Four,
so take me through why they're in the order that they are.
We'll get to part 4 when we get to part 4. Again, it's not my least favorite. It's just my 6th favorite. I feel like the volume was the most noticeable to me in part 4. Also with some very minor retreads.
Okay.
Of some stuff in Fortress Inquisitorious, even though it was great. Again, it truly is my 6th favorite episode of the season. Part 2 was mostly great. Like, part 2 and part 4 both, like, there was nothing about them that were specifically bad. It's just, like, they didn't have the pop of the other 4. Part 1 was getting... started off the journey, introduced the Leia twist, which was, again, one of the greatest twists in Star Wars television history. That's who this show was going to be about. It was going to be about Leia, and showed, like, hopeless Ben in the desert, like, giving him a good place, like, a bad place to start, so that we can work up. 3 is Vader dragging Obi-Wan through the fire and asking, "Now, how's that feel, bitch?" Which, come on. Yeah. 3 is just everything Vader, and Vader is a horror movie villain, and it's fantastic. 5 is Hayden Christensen doing his thing better than he'd ever done at that point. I can't say ever done, because Ahsoka exists, but all the great stuff with Obi-Wan and Vader and Reva in that episode, including Reva's twist. And then 6, I'm sure we'll both talk about it. 6 is just perfect. There's no way around it. 6 is just perfect.
Yeah. 6 is pretty phenomenal, I think.
Yeah. No, we should
Ending
probably just
bang.
Get on to
it's
that, honestly, right now.
So, should we talk about characters?
Do you have any other thoughts about the best episode or the worst episode, or do you want to just move on? Yeah.
I think I gave my reasons. I think... Across the board, I think I have the same for the episodes that I didn't like as much, the earlier ones. I had pretty similar gripes with them, which were that I think they went on some tangents and it felt like the pacing, the writing, the structuring wasn't quite there as it was in the later episodes. That's all I'll say. But they were still very satisfying. They still had some amazing moments in them and some amazing stretches, to be sure.
So best character... You first.
I can't pick Leia, Haja, Rogan, Tala, Reva, Obi-Wan, Vader. I think we see some really phenomenal character development, character work, and character building in these episodes. I think Obi-Wan, it goes without saying. So if I had to pick one that felt a little bit more of a personal choice as opposed to the obvious choice, I think I would go with Haja Estri. I think that Kumail Nanjiani did a fantastic job. I think that I hope that we see more of his journey at some point, because he did not get a lot of airtime. But in these episodes, something profound about what he brought to the show and his kind of that perspective on what it brought to Obi-Wan and what it meant to see Obi-Wan inspiring someone like that to work and fight and potentially sacrifice for a greater cause when he himself is struggling with those same things. So I think for my pick for favorite character, you know, to avoid being...
Yeah, I decided Obi-Wan. To go from the obvious two for me, which is Obi-Wan and Vader / Anakin. And unsurprisingly, probably to people who have been listening this entire time, probably unsurprisingly to you, of course I'm picking Reva. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Moses Ingram, complex, layered performance. It gets better every time I watch it. Look, I know we said this at the beginning of the series, but I want to reiterate. This shouldn't have happened no matter how good she was in her performance was. But what The Phantom Menace did to her after she gave one of the best performances in recent Star Wars is absolutely horrific. Like, that woman knocked it out of the park, and some people were like, but a black woman in my Star Wars. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. I said it here. When I agree. I want 20 more television episodes with Reva in them, at least. The most interesting light side, dark side struggle in the Disney era so far. Again, love Kylo. Love Ben. Just, I like Reva better. I have this thing for story ideas, especially in Star Wars, that sound dumb when you first pitch them, but when you, but executed really well can work. Like that's like a lot of the reasons I love Rise of Skywalker, where it's okay, so the Emperor's back again. Well, that's really stupid. He has a whole army of Sith. What the fuck? But, like, it works. They execute it, at least in my opinion, really. And the idea of, okay, what if the main Inquisitor who's hunting Obi-Wan is one of the surviving younglings from the assault on the temple? That sounds like such an edgelord idea, but it was executed with so much heart and soul that I couldn't help but love it.
They did a fantastic job, especially in the last three episodes.
It's
seeing what Reva's going through and having that conclusion was pretty magnificent. It was a magnificent thing to see.
So I'm going to go with Reva. What about worst character for you? Oh, I actually shouldn't have asked this. I know who you're going to say.
The key to hunting Jedi is patience. It's the Grand Inquisitor. By far my least favorite character. I'm tired. I'm not even going to try and justify it. I have my reasons. Look, Rebels Quizzy takes the cake every fucking time. He is a different beast. And I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Sure, yes. Does he have some all-time Hall of Fame petty moments that make me burst out laughing? Yes, absolutely. And I deeply appreciate him for that. That being said, I was just disappointed that this felt like a shadow of the version of the Grand Inquisitor that we got in Rebels. And for that reason, I know Eli's looking at me unhappily right now on the recording. For that reason, I won't belabor the point. I was less than thrilled with the head shape, for example.
I wish there was a good way for us to release this the video recording and for me to put the Curb Your Enthusiasm scene over my face as you were saying that, because that is what was going on in my head. This is not a character that I hate, per se, like, actually hate the execution of the character, but genuinely the characters in this series are written so well that I had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for this one. So I'll say, man, fuck Freck. Look, I like Zach Braff, I think he did a good job. It's very disheartening to see fascist propaganda as work as easily as it does on Freck. Fuck that guy. Yeah, I'm just going to that one, just because it's an easy one for me. Freck is the Pong Krell of the show. I saw somebody post this right after part 3 came out, which is that we need to be asking serious questions about exactly where Freck was on January 6th. If the shoe fits. Yeah, fuck Freck. Coolest new thing you notice from the rewatch.
Fair enough. Coolest new thing I noticed. Okay, first off, I know I just spent a couple minutes dumping on the Grand Inquisitor in this show, so I will redeem myself a little bit. First off, the Grand Inquisitor's sassy little head cock out of focus in the background when Vader says, go after Kenobi. Come on. That was brilliant. That was brilliant. I didn't either. And I didn't notice that the first time at all. And apparently a lot of people did, but I didn't. That was hilarious. That was genuinely hilarious. But really just the level of attention to detail, the level of thought and attention to detail that the story of the show clearly has in terms of the character development, the way that the show teases out these subtle details and complexities, specifically in Obi-Wan and Leia's relationship in this show and the way that Leia influences Obi-Wan. That to me was pretty remarkable. And there were a lot of subtle things that I didn't pick up on the first time around. And
yeah, there's a lot of great detail-oriented stuff. For me, I think that the lightsaber duels in this series, I forgot how good they are. I'll shout out Cann Aidan, who's the fight choreographer for this series, for creating some excellent sequences. Of course, I'll just sidebar a little bit. Shout out to Ewan, Hayden, Moses, Benny, Safdie, and their stunt tunnels for helping them perform them. But shout out to Cann Aidan for choreographing some really great fights, and then also not turning into a grifter piece of shit once the opportunity came for him, like certain other fight choreographers did. Now that I tell you about Nick Giller.
I don't want to know. It's okay.
A story for another
time. What would Maz Kanata say? A story for another time.
Just because fuck Star Wars theory. Yeah. No, has a non-nothing amount to do with why I don't like Nick Gillard anymore. But yeah. But seriously, I didn't want to just do that to like dig at Nick Gillard and SWT. I really do think the duels in this series are fantastic. And like the part 6 duel, the Reva versus Vader is so funny. Like Reva versus Vader is so funny. Obi-Wan and Anakin's flashback duel in 5 is great. Really, the duel in 3 is also great in its own way because of how, like, bad the two of them are. But you still believe it. Finally, favorite planet.
Yeah. Favorite planet. You know what? I'll go with Dayu. There were some very cool sets in here, but I think Dayu... With the space meth lab.
Yeah, Dayu with the space meth lab, cool. With Thal Orshim's office. Yeah, no, like, great stuff on Dayu. For more context on Thal Orshim's and his exploits, go watch Ionized Bastards, a Star Wars RPG series that I will link down in the description. I picked Jabim. I think it was very cool to get that Legends planet adapted into canon as a Hidden Path safe house. I think it expands so many opportunities. And yeah, I think Jabim was actually handled very well in this series. Is there anything else you want to say, Obi-Wan Kenobi, before we wrap up season 16 of Star Wars in a Galaxy?
Gosh, oh, I am so yeah. happy that we got to take this journey again. This show really just... There's something deeply personal and emotional about this show and watching this. It fed my soul as a Star Wars fan. I know I gush about a lot of different things, but I think maybe this might be the most I've ever enjoyed a rewatch, or yeah. the most that I've ever increased yeah. my esteem of a show or a movie in the rewatch.
I'm happy for you, man.
I'm very happy that I've ever increased
my appreciation for a story. I think it might have been Fallen Order. Maybe Fallen Order, maybe Bad Batch 1, maybe Revenge of the Sith. Mm. They're all decent contenders. Some of the later Clone Wars stuff, although I loved all that, love that stuff enough quite a bit already. But yeah, no, I mean, my appreciation for the series increased, don't get me wrong. But like, it didn't increase as much just because there wasn't as much increasing to do. But yeah, no, I love taking this journey. But yeah. At the end of our retrospective episodes, here's what we do. We talk about the future of Star Wars in the Galaxy. So here's what the future looks like for us.
Yes.
We are not going to go straight into, first of all, actually, I'm not going to say that. First, next week in Star Wars in the Galaxy, we are going to be doing, I think, what is our second special episode of the year? First special episode of the year? Let's check. Our first special episode of the year. And we are diving back into our, one of our special episode series. We've been, of course, doing every once in a while, going through deleted scenes of certain Star Wars. We did the prequels, we did the original trilogy, then we did the third episode was the Clone Wars film, and then season two of the Clone Wars, and then the fourth episode was season three and four of the Clone Wars. Next week's episode is going to be season five of the Clone Wars, which has around 40 minutes of deleted scenes that we found, again, special thanks to Mr. Anderson at One on YouTube. We'll obviously post that for the next episode, but we're watching the stuff they've uploaded to YouTube and all of the interesting deleted scenes and stuff. So we're continuing that. Then, after that, we will be doing a very brief season 16.5 of Star Wars in the Galaxy, as we've called it, because the last time we did a half season was Tales of the Jedi, but the time before that was our first look into Star Wars Visions. Since Star Wars Visions came out, it, got a second season in 2023. Get to the time we're at, Reign of the Empire. There are, of those new ones, of the nine shorts, seven of them are either before or during the time period we are. So we will be covering, so the first episode, to be posted March 15th, I believe. Yeah, will be Aang's Song, Sith, Screecher's Reach, and Journey to the Dark Head. And the second one, the week afterwards, will be In the Stars, The Bandits of Golok, and The Pit. That's going to conclude season 16 and a half of Star Wars in the Galaxy. And then going into season 17 of Star Wars in the Galaxy, our next real official big season of Star Wars in the Galaxy. Jacob, do you want to tell the lovely people what I'm making you go through for season 17 of Star Wars in the Galaxy?
Season 17, Star Wars in a Galaxy, my lovely co-host Eli is going to be testing friendship. I'm just kidding. But no, he is going to be having fun. He is going to be having a lot of fun. And a little bit of it, he seems to think, is going to come at my expense. Because he is going to be selecting an assortment of episodes. He didn't want to subject me to all of it. But we are going to be watching an assortment of young
Jedi Adventures. Hell yeah, we are.
I'm very excited for this because I've never seen Young Jedi Adventures.
Eli, what do you have to say? Because you swear by Young Jedi Adventures.
You love yourself some Young Jedi Adventures. Plush,
which I can't find right now. But that's fine because I don't need his power in order to convince people to join the greatest nation in the history of our planet, Nubs Nation. But no, Young Jedi Adventures, it was something I wrote off. Like, I think a lot of people wrote it off, and I think a lot of people still do, which I think they're lost. But Young Jedi Adventures, it is the first Star Wars visual media that we've gotten that takes place in the High Republic era. I love the books, I love the comics, I've gotten into them quite a bit, but if you want to, again, this show is about the visual media, and if you want to get that stuff out to a wide audience, of course, we're getting the Acolyte soon, and that's, I'd call that High Republic adjacent, because it's at the end of the era, and we know at least one character be in that show from the High Republic, but, like, we don't know how much they're going to be involved and stuff like that. Again, I'm not saying that show is not going to be great. I think the Acolyte's going to be wonderful, and I'm very excited for it. But Young Jedi Adventures is the closest to a High Republic television show we've gotten so far. It takes place before literally everything we've covered on Star Wars in a Galaxy, except for KOTOR 1. Before everything else, though. It takes place about 250 years before the Battle of Yavin, about 120 years before the start of the prequel trilogy. 120, never mind. And I think there are some really great Star Wars stories in there, and I mean that sincerely, that I'm really excited to show Jacob, and especially because, we're recording this episode on February the 25th. I think it'll come out March 1st, I think. this is what I meant by the quickest turnaround in Star Wars in the Galaxy history, which is that we'll probably get to the end of Young Jedi Adventures, from what I see on our schedule, probably in, like, early May, right? The final drop of episodes released on February 14th.
Yeah.
This is the quickest turnaround for anything in a galaxy ever.
Dang.
And it happened to fit, and I only watched things once, and I was able to put in what we needed to. There are whole episodes of the show that we're skipping. Some episodes we're only watching half of, because I'm only picking... Yeah, there are 49 stories, because every episode save the last one has two stories in them. But yeah, I have... In terms of, like, actual episodic, like, actual talking about the stuff episodes, we're looking at 7 episodes of Star Wars in a Galaxy covering Young Jedi Adventures. So, about as long as this season, a little bit longer. And so, I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about potential guests I have for this, because it is limited, because not as many people have seen Young Jedi Adventures, but I'm really excited. There are some people I'm interested in getting. And trust me, that final episode, when we get to the final 3 stories are called The Caves of Batuu, which is all give you a non-spoiler spoiler, which is the Path of the Jedi of Young Jedi Adventures. Keepers, which okay. is just very, it's good, but nothing crazy special. And then the finale is called The Prince and the Pirate, which has maybe one of the best twists I've seen in Star Wars in a while. I'm serious. A show for 5-year-olds delivered one of the greatest twists in Star Wars that I've seen in a while. And I'm chomping at the bit to talk about it, but...
I'm looking forward to it.
I think until then... I think that's going to be it for this episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Next week, as we mentioned, we're going to be doing those deleted scenes. In the meantime, you can follow us everywhere at In a Galaxy Pod. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, we'll be there. If we're not, email us, swinagalaxy@gmail.com. Watch Epic Confrontations. By the time this is out, I believe our February/early March match, Michael McCoy versus Claire Stribling, will be out. Stay tuned, because we've had a bit of a switch up in terms of scheduling. So our March match, which will not probably aired till late March, maybe even early April, unfortunately, is now going to be Sean the Apostate Room versus Wraith leader Nikki Kumar. We're very excited for that. And you can follow me on my link tree. It has all the links to my stuff, linktr.ee/_hfan327. And until next time, I think all there's left to say is, may the Force be with you always.
Always.